Committee on Oversight and Government Reform will come to order. We have an important hearing today. Appreciate you all being here. I got to tell you, though, I wish I didn't have to compel you all to be here. We asked you as legislative liaisons to come participate with us, in which you refused. So the Committee on Oversight will come to order. Without objection, the chair is authorized to declare a recess at any time. We have a couple goals for the hearing in our investigation and our need to do our constitutional duty. One, the FBI needs to produce its full investigative file to the United States Congress. And I mean the full file, not just the parts the FBI deemed relevant. Right now, we only have the 302s handpicked by the FBI. We decide what's relevant, not the Department of Justice, not the FBI. We're entitled to the full file. Two, all unclassified portions of the file should be released to the public as quickly as possible. It has been more than 20 days since I'm sure the very first FOIA request was put out there, and by law, that should be out there. I want to commend the FBI for already releasing its investigative summary report and Secretary Clinton's 302 interview summary to the public. We do appreciate that, and it's duly noted. But there are still a number of 302s left for the FBI to release. We were surprised to learn that the 302s, the so-called investigative files provided to the United States Congress, to the security officer, were only a portion of them, not all of them. And three, all members of Congress should be able to review the entire file right now, unless you're part of the Intel Committee, Oversight Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the Appropriations Committee. These are only, if you're a member, you have to be on those committees in order to view what is currently in the SCIF. It's unclear to me how the FBI can prevent a member of Congress from seeing what we're already allowed to see by law, yet here they have done so. Even the unclassified information, that's what's mystifying to me. Even the unclassified information you're preventing members of Congress from seeing. But we do believe we should be able to see the file and the whole file. And it's disappointing that we are here today. We have a number of questions about the redactions, the classifications. I thought a number of those things would best be answered in a briefing. You know, Elijah Cummings, the ranking member here, has made a point on several occasions that rather than just going right into a hearing, let's go to a briefing. We had legitimate questions. We did have this plan for last week. We did have more than 12 members of the Congress show up to have that briefing, and none of you showed up. That's inexcusable. You're the congressional affairs officers. It's your job to talk to Congress. And for some of you, I had to threaten to send a subpoena just to get you to appear today. We did some math. We got 70 of you sitting here. Between your compensation and your benefits package, you make more than $1 million from taxpayers. Taxpayers are paying you seven more than $1 million. And you won't even come talk to Congress. What do you do all day if you don't talk to Congress? That's your job. So we're going to do that today. And the irony here is we're trying to protect the classified information. I didn't create this mess. Hillary Clinton created this mess. There are years of federal records. Some of it's so classified, none of us in this room should probably see them. Most of it's unclassified. But we have a duty and an obligation to protect that information. I believe that's probably the same goal that you have. But we're going to have a reality check here. She's the one that took the records from the State Department, gave access to people who don't have security clearances. The case is closed. There's no consequences, nobody being held accountable. But we also had an FBI director come and testify that he never looked at her testimony under oath. And somehow we have a classified system and we have a non-classified system. And somehow information was going from the classified system into a non-classified system. So it's ironic that you don't want to appear before this committee out of a concern for protecting classified information. When Hillary Clinton walked around with a BlackBerry full of classified information and gave access to sensitive federal records to folks without security clearances at all. I want to understand from each of you what it is you think that Congress should not see. See, I believe passionately in the role of Congress. I believe passionately in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. We were founded in 1814. Every expenditure, everything we do in this Congress, or everything we do in this nation, is supposed to be overseen by us. We can investigate anything at any time. That's what's different about the United States of America. We're different because we are self-critical. We do go look under the hood. We do hold people accountable. That's why when Abraham Lincoln joined the United States Congress, he was on this committee. And he peppered the president because he didn't believe that the Mexican-American War started as the president said it was. And there's been a rich history of that throughout generations. We can't do that when each of the agencies that you all represent decide that, well, we're just going to show you the relevant information. We're not even going to answer your questions. You can't see those documents. That's the way a banana republic acts. It's not the way the United States of America acts. So we expect better, and we expect you to be responsive. And I don't expect to have to issue a subpoena to see unclassified information. While we can't be certain what is under each of the redactions within the documents, as far as we can tell, the redactions are covering information commonly given to Congress, such as names of key fact witnesses, titles and positions of government employees at the State Department, and Gmail accounts. There's nothing classified about that information. While I understand there's an argument to withhold information under the Privacy Act or the Freedom of Information Act, neither of those apply to Congress or any other committees. As I understand it, the FBI is not withholding any information based on the Privacy Act. Instead, they just don't want to give us the information. So there's really no legal basis for these redactions. The FBI also chose to redact any information in the report classified above secret. This also makes no sense. As a member of Congress, we routinely receive documents and briefings from the intelligence community at the highest levels of classification, with the exception of sources and methods, and with the exception of the SAP material. So any redactions have to be based on classification that have to be removed. We have to be able to see that information. We also have questions on what the FBI file contains. Oddly enough, the copies of the file provided to us by the FBI are different. We are very grateful that they provided the first set on a Tuesday. I believe it was August 16th. The next day, we got a second set. Problem is, the second set had 27 emails more than the other one, which we were grateful for. It was an improving file. Only to have the FBI try to come back and recover those. Not because it was SAP material, because it's embarrassing. That's why it was embarrassing. But we should have had it in the first round. We should have had it at the very beginning. I also want to put this request in context because it's far from the first time Congress or even this committee has requested an investigative file from the FBI or the Department of Justice. Congressional committees are routinely provided investigative materials by the Department of Justice and the FBI. I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record the 2007 CRS report. This was done when things were going on with the dismissal of the U.S. attorneys. I'm going to read. It's a little bit long. But this is as good a summary as why Congress should be able to see this as anything. And I've got to read a few sentences here. From the CRS, a review of the historical experience and legal rulings pertinent to congressional access to information regarding the law enforcement activities of the Department of Justice indicates that in the last 85 years, Congress has consistently sought and obtained deliberative prosecutorial memoranda and the testimony of line attorneys, FBI field agents, and other subordinate agency employees regarding the conduct of open and closed cases in the course of innumerable investigations of the Department of Justice activities. These investigations have encompassed virtually every component of the Department of Justice and its officials' employees, from the Attorney General down to the subordinate level personnel. It appears that the fact that an agency, such as the Justice Department, has determined for its own internal purposes that a particular item should not be disclosed, or that the information sought should come from one of the committees or subcommittees does not prevent either the House of Congress or its committees or subcommittees from obtaining or publishing information it considers essential for the proper performance of its constitutional functions. There appears to be no court precedent that impresses the threshold burden on committees to demonstrate, for example, quote, a substantial reason to believe wrongdoing occurred, end quote, before a jurisdictional committee may seek disclosure with respect to the conduct of specific OPIC in closed criminal and civil cases. Indeed, the case law is quite the contrary. An inquiring committee need only show that the information sought is within the broad spectrum of the matter of its authorized jurisdiction, is in aid of a legitimate legislative function, and is pertinent to the area of concern. And it goes on for page after page after page of precedent here. Basically, there is no legal reason why you should withhold any of this information from the United States Congress. This goes back from the Teapot Dome bribery scandal to Valerie Plame to what was done by Chairman Waxman when he requested the FBI 302s for President Bush, Vice President Cheney, Karl Rove, and several other senior advisors. I have two other things that I'd like to enter into the record. I ask unanimous consent to enter into this, to enter the CRS report, as well as the December 3rd, 2007 letter from Chairman Waxman to Attorney General Mukasey in the record. Without objection, so ordered. I'd also ask unanimous consent to enter the September 10th, 2007 letter from Chairman Conyers to Attorney General Gonzalez into the record. Without objection, so ordered. And finally, I want to commend the FBI for making its summer report and 302 of Secretary Clinton public. I do appreciate that. It's a good start. It's a good start. But it's time we be candid and honest with the American people. We allow Congress to do its job. I didn't pick this timeline. Hillary Clinton picked this timeline.